If you would look with us to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. And we want to begin reading with verse 4. When you found it, please say amen.
Amen.
And the word of God reads us thus. And he went with them, and they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh, my Lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." And the man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron to float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. And just from those verses of the word we'd like to use for a subject this morning, losing the cutting edge. Losing the cutting edge. When we look here in this text, all of us realize that whenever we are using instruments to cut with, it's extremely important that the tools be sharp. Because we'll find that it's difficult to cut anything when you've lost the edge on the blade. Now, most of us can identify with or can relate to going by the barbershop sometime in your life, amen? And when you get to the barbershop, you'll find out that the barber will pull out his clippers. And usually, the clippers will get the job done. But now, if you really want to get a sharp edge, we used to call it, if you really want to get a good sharp lining, the barber will pull out the razor. But oftentimes, you'll discover that the razor has been used on somebody else's head before yours. And the razor is dull. Now, a dull razor will cut you. And when we talk about the razor being dull, it sometimes reminds me of church folk. Sometimes church folk kind of dull. And they've been using their tools all through 2008. And after using the tools for the last 365 days, the tools have become kind of dull. But if you'll think about this, even though the razor might be dull, the barber never throws the razor away. And if you look on the back of most barbers' chairs, you'll find a piece of leather. And he'll begin to stroke the razor against the leather until the razor gets its edge back. Now, that's how God does with us. We've gotten kind of dull in 2008, but I'm thankful that God didn't throw us away. And right now he's trying to sharpen us up. And sometimes I think about this. We come to church And because we dressed up in fancy suits and dresses and hats and shoes, folk will tell you how sharp you are. But really deep down, you know yourself that you're not that sharp. Because if you were that sharp, you wouldn't be sitting in a house of worship complaining. If you really were that sharp, amen, you wouldn't be sitting in worship service passing notes. If you really were that sharp, you wouldn't come to a praise celebration acting like you had a pity party. And it seems like through 2008, amen, some of us have gone through so much that you're about ready to throw in the towel. And some of us look like this morning, we don't even want to ever be sharp no more. However, thanks be to God that He's a God that realizes that as we go through this thing called life, sometimes we get kind of dull. And if you'll look with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 15, you'll find where Isaiah will pen these words. And he says, now see, this is what God said, see, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new, sharp, with many teeth, and you will thresh the mountains and crush them, and you will reduce the hills to molehills. Now, what God is telling us is that if you want to be successful in life, you've got to be sharp in order to move the mountains in your life. In other words, God does not always just move your mountains, but He wants you to be sharp enough to cut down your mountains. But when you let the problems of life dictate to you and you become kind of dull, mountains overwhelm us. But I'm thankful that sometimes God knows how trifling we are. Amen. That sometimes He has to make us do some things. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Psalms 23, He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. See, most of us don't have enough sense to lay down in green pastures, because when we get dull, we get ready to give up. Can't cut a whole lot of grass with a dull blade. You'll find, yes, that the blade will spin, but after you walk over that same path, you'll turn around and look, and guess what? See, that grass didn't go anywhere. Let me tell you a story. Once I was a man, and they hired this young guy to cut down trees, and he was so strong, they said that he would cut the trees, and his chainsaw would just cut all these trees down. And it seemed like this young man could cut down more trees than anybody. And then there was an old man that would cut trees, and then he would stop several times during the day. And the young man would just keep on cutting, chopping down the trees. And then after a lot of days had passed, the young man's production stopped, and the folk fired him from the job. And he could not understand how the old man could stop and rest and still beat him cutting. And as he got ready to leave the job, he said, old man, let me ask you a question. I can't can't understand how I outworked you. And you rested when I kept cutting. But at the end, you outproduced me. How can this be? And Omar said, son, let me teach you a lesson. He says, when you look in your Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, it said that if the iron be blunt and one does not whet the edge, then he has to use more strength to cut, but wisdom is profitable for directions. In other words, the old man said, guess what, son? When I was stopping, I wasn't resting. I stopped to sharpen my blade and adjust the chain on my chainsaw. And he went on to explain that the sharper your edge, the greater your production, and you don't have to work near as hard if your blade is sharp. And see, this is tell us about ministry. A lot of us, yes, we've been busy all 2008. But we've been cutting with a dull blade. And when you look behind and it seems like I didn't get very far in 2008, it's because you were cutting with a blade that lost its edge. And sometimes it's even more detrimental. I think sometimes it seems like a lot of us, amen, not only lost our edge, but we lost our blade. Let's go back to our text here. And when we look here in 2 Kings chapter 6, when you look in verse 5, you'll discover that when you read this story that they were remodeling and they were enlarging the place where the preachers were going to live. And one guy was working as hard as he could. Some of us say we're working hard in the kingdom. Amen. He was working hard as he could. And so he borrowed his neighbor's axe in order to work for God. See, in order to work for God, you got to have a desire to want to work. You might have to borrow your neighbor's axe, but as long as you got a mindset to work, work can be done. And as he was cutting down the trees, they were near the water, and the word says that the axe head came off and flew into the water. Now, I know this man was probably kind of upset. First of all, because he borrowed the axe. Second of all, he was upset because by him not having an axe head, he could no longer do the job that he was called to do. And so therefore, the work could not advance. And right now, today in our lives, some of us have lost our axe head. Don't have an edge, but are we really upset that the work is being hindered? See, God knows sometimes that we're going to lose our edge. And even though this might be a pretty tough answer, the man had enough sense not just to cry. A lot of us talking about I'm just going through. We all going through. This man had enough sense not to just sit and cry, because right now some of us have lost our axe head. We've lost our edge, and we're not trying to do anything about it. But the man had enough sense to know that he could not cut trees with an axe handle. Which means that in life, you can't cut your way through life by being religious. And telling me about you know God, it's not a part of whether does God know you. Now, this man didn't just cry, but he went to the old man of God, Elisha. And he told the preacher his story. And in other words, he said, preacher, I was cutting. I was working real hard. And I lost my axe. It's in the story. And so the old man said, show me what happened. Because, see, when you go to the preacher has not a earthly plan, but he usually can put you on the path of the divine plan of God. Showed him where the axe head fell off. And we're looking at in verse 6, we discover that Elisha will cut a stick. Now think about this. Sometimes you got to replace those broken handles that you're trying to cut with. Yes, look back, look at this real closely. Now I know the man had an axe head on his stick. And the axe head came off of the stick. But when Elisha went to solve the problem, he didn't use the same old stick, because it's obviously something was wrong with the stick in order for the axe head to come off. Y'all didn't catch me. And see, right now, God has given us methods of kingdom building, but we keep on putting the axe on the same old stick. I'm going to say, what's the stick? See, the stick is us. The word of God is true. The word of God is sharp. But we keep on putting the edge of God, the word of God, on a broken stick. That stick is us. All right. And after he cut the stick, Elisha took the stick and he took the stick and he threw it in the water where the axe handle had come off. And right then, I'm sure somebody said, what's this dummy throwing a stick in the water for? Now, it really is irrelevant, because the point is you've lost your edge. So you might as well put your trust in God. And sometimes we can't understand God's plan. As he threw the stick in the water. Somebody say, what did he throw the stick for? And as he threw the stick, the man became excited. We need some excitement in here today. Why? Because as he looked around, the word of God said that the axe head began to swim. Anybody ever seen an axe head swim? See, that tells me that God can do anything that he wants to do if you trust him to do it. Now, some of y'all axe heads have come off in here. You're just leaving your axe head down in the water. Said, I'm about to give up. I'm going through my valley. You, Jesus. But let me explain. First of all, when problems came, he went to the man of God. Then, when the man of God went to carry out the divine plan, I don't see nowhere where this boy argued. And the axe head began to swim. Think about this axe head swimming. Now, this axe head is made out of iron. Now, and you know iron's kind of heavy. And then Elisha told this boy, now bend down, pick up the stick, and return to your job. See, to bend down requires some effort. But today, most of us don't want to put forth no effort. Lord, I'm just going. Now, can you imagine? We say we're on our way to heaven anyhow. But this man was able to cut down more trees. Why? Because he had faith that God would restore his axe head. And second of all, not only did he have faith, but he was excited and had some enthusiasm about cutting down the trees. But now if you lose your axe head, as I told you before, you can't cut down trees with an axe handle. You got to come to God and say, God, help return my cutting edge. And the difference, listen to me, between existing and living depends upon your effort. And it's a sad story when you lose the ability to sharpen your own edge. Somebody looking at me kind of crazy. How can I sharpen my own edge? See, it's dangerous when you depend on other folk to keep you sharpened. Let me give you an example. When we come in here on Sunday morning and we begin to start praise and worship, and you got to prime somebody to get you excited about worshiping God, we got to pump and prime and breathe into your lung and say, let's give God some praise. Now, clap your hands. And other, whenever somebody else has to do that, that's simply saying that somebody else has got to sharpen your edge. It's dangerous when somebody else had to sharpen your edge. If you don't believe me, 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel with me this morning. Chapter 13, verse 20. And it tells of a very sad story in history. It's scary when God's people pay other folk to sharpen their tools. See, throughout this, the camp of God, we discovered that the skill to sharpen their tools was lost. And they began to trust the enemy to sharpen their tools. Look here in the Word. It's in the Word. And it's sad when we have church folk that are not saved. Amen. Carrying on the plan of God. That simply means that you're depending on the enemy to sharpen your tools. Now, when you look in verse 20, it says that all the people of Israel went down to the Philistines to sharpen his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. And you must remember that the Philistines were enemies to the children of Israel. Goliath was the Philistine that David had to kill. And it's dangerous and costly to trust other folk to keep your spiritual edge. Because see, when wartime comes, your enemy not going to sharpen your tools. See, when war would arise, the Philistines would not sharpen the tools of the children of Israel. And when you lose the ability to sharpen your tools, it's still just as bad as losing your cutting edge. And this is when we become spiritually asleep. But see, the Holy Ghost will sharpen your tools by leading and guiding you and directing you into all truth. But in order for you to sharpen your tools, you got to tell somebody and admit that my tool has gotten kind of dull. And right now, even though our tools are dull, God is kind of upset with us. See, we got to learn to serve God with some excitement, with some zeal, with passion. Why? Because it's kind of scary when we get more excited at a ball game than we do when we worship God. See, when you talk about dullness, Revelations 2 and 4 says, I have something against you. Why? Because you've left your first love. And we look at ESPN, sometimes we hear there's a guy that says, and he could go all the way. He's excited because somebody is about to score. But when we come in church and folk are getting filled with his Holy Ghost, I never hear anybody shout and say, he could go all the way. But in order to be able to sharpen your tools, you've got to diagnose that your tools are dull. And the sooner you diagnose something, the better your chances are of healing. We can identify cancer, AIDS, and TB. And the sooner the diagnosis, the greater chance of a full recovery. How do I know I've lost my cutting edge? When you're half due in church. All right. Can't make it on time. Anything will do. Let somebody else do it. So today, what's your prognosis? God help us, I pray, to develop a plan of recovery. Because, see, the word of God says, without a vision, the people perish. And if we don't sense the urgency, our cutting edge will be left underwater. And iron will rust. And after it rusts so long, iron will rust past the point of repair. Unless we develop a plan to sharpen our edge. And our churches can never build a whole lot when a spirit of sleep overtakes the church. We look in Luke 9:32. Peter was sleeping through prayer meeting. And when he awoke, he saw the glory of God in verse 33. And he says that, let us build three churches. But see what happened, let me warn you right now. If you've lost your cutting edge, you've lost your edge of prayer, and a slumbering spirit grows, that simply means that you can't be depended upon for anything. Matthew 22, verse 29 tells us this, that the cutting edge is lost simply because we do not know the word and the power of God. We've got to have some passion to return to our worship. We need to have a spirit of excitement. And see, when God gives us our passion back, that's when we get our edge back. Can't get too comfortable. And see, sometimes when you find yourself getting kind of dull, all of us get dull sometimes, you need to learn to go back to the rock. See, Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. And my God is the rock in whom I can take refuge. In other words, when I get dull, I can get close to God. And when I rub up against the rock will give me a better edge. See, when you want to get sharpened, you begin to praise God. And see, God will put you on the wet rock. See, when you get wet, he will baptize you with his Holy Spirit. When you need a friend, when you need someone to count on, you can go to the rock. And see, what do I do when I get to the rock? Psalm 95:1 says, come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. God will sharpen your edges. There's somebody here that worked hard all of 2008, but you didn't work smart. You were busy trying to cut, but you didn't have no edge. But see, if you forget about yourself and concentrate on him, then you can begin to be productive. And then let me tell you something, sharp folk can't hang around dull folk. For Proverbs 27:17 said, as an iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And then lastly, when you find yourself getting dull, can't see your way through, don't know how you're gonna make it, you need to learn to press your way through. We all got a press. See, we know about a woman that had an issue of blood. And she had to keep on pressing. And see, whenever you press, you got to keep on pushing regardless of what happens in your life. For Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. But one thing that I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, and striving for that which is ahead, I press towards the mark of a high calling of the prize. See, let me tell you, lazy folk can't press. And see, but God will sharpen everybody that will press. See, you got to press yourself hard enough so God can feel you touching. See, when Jesus fed 5,000, he never said, somebody touch me, because they were living in their comfort zone. Their bellies were full. The Savior was right there, and they were living in a state of comfort. But see, let me tell you, when trouble rises, you got to learn how to press. You can have your conferences, but when you get through with your conferences, sometimes it seems like it don't touch God. But you got to press to get to Bible study on Wednesday night. You got to press till something happens. Somebody says, I was tired, so I just can't make it. But you got to press even when you get tired. You got to press even though the storm rides. Let me tell you, every time you press, I promise you something will happen. When we look in Mark chapter 5, you'll find a story that Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. But on the way, he runs into this woman that had an issue of blood for 12 long years. And what he did, he became a doctor for this sick woman. And he became the resurrector for Jairus' daughter. See, somebody said, I would come to Bible study, but you know, I got PMS. Well, PMS lasts for a few days. But this lady had an issue for 12 long years, but she kept on pressing her way through. See, if you're tired of being dull, say, God, I want you to sharpen me up. Maybe you were trying to do too many things in 2008, and sometimes it's better to do one thing than it is to try to do a whole lot of nothing. See, when I look in Psalm 27 and 4, this is what he said, one thing that I desire to do, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. If you're tired of being trifling and not getting nothing done, do one thing. Desire of the Lord, dwell in his temple, behold his beauty. Somebody said, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then before you enter 2009, there's one thing that everybody needs to do in order to get sharp. But Paul said, but one thing, not a bunch of things, not the missionary society, not the pastor's boat, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me. Can't change 2008. Yes, we were trifling in 2008, but you can't change that. You got to forget those things that are behind you and press. Somebody say press. You got to press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. See, let me tell you, the enemy wants to drown your edge. He wants to drown your axe handle. He wants to drown your axe head and leave it up under the water. But see, let me tell you, faith said, even though I get down sometimes, even though the flood comes in my life, I will come up again. I can see it right now. Problem in 2008, had some financial problem that sunk to the bottom of the water, had some relationship problem that sunk to the bottom of the water. Have some problems on my job and my axe head sunk to the bottom of the water. But guess what? I can see it right now. My axe head is beginning to swim. My problem coming up out the bottom of the water. My relationship coming up out the bottom of the water. My finances coming up out the bottom of the water. And then before long, my sharp head is going to hook back on my stick. And my stick is going to be changed because I got the renewing of my mind. And now I got my cutting edge back. I can cut down the mountains. I can cut down the trees. I can cut down the problems that come into my life. Have you lost your cutting edge? But let me tell you, right now, God is about to prosper you. He's about to put you in your proper place so that you can grab an edge on your axe head. And see, I can see it right now. God is not through with me yet. He's rubbing me across the wet rock. He looks at me again, say, "Now, Rigby, you're still a little bit dull," but he keeps on sending me across the wet rock. And the more I go across the wet rock is the word of God, because Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the more I rub against this word, the sharper I become. And see, one of these days, when God gets through with me, I shall come forth. I shall come forth. Hey, I'll come forth as pure gold. I tell you right now, if you can't handle my broke way, when God comes through for me, will you be able to handle me? I'll be too sharp. I'll be so sharp, I'll cut you if you get close to me. Have you got your cutting edge back? Have you got your cutting edge back? Right now, God wants to give you your cutting edge. He's tired of you being dull. Yes, you show up on Sundays. Yes, you're cutting, but you could cut so much more if you just sharpen up your edge. See, God said the race is not given to the swift. And we'll come through here real quick and throw God any kind of praise. But it's given to the ones that are endure. And see, when I endure, that means that when my edge gets dull, I gotta take my blade off. How do I take my blade off? I go into the presence of God and say, "God, here I am. I'm not like I ought to be." And when I get through talking to God, I'll come forth. I'll come out pretty sharp. Problems, cut them down. Situations, I can cut them down. If you've been dull in 2008, pray that God will give you back your cutting edge in 2009. The invitation is given. And right now, somebody here knows that they've been cutting with a dull edge. Some of us, our axe head still laying in the bottom of the water. But just go put your stick by the water. I said, what does that mean? That means put your trust in God. That he'll put everything back to where it's supposed to be. And that would be in a place of serving and praising God. Will there be one to come this morning? If you know for a fact that your edge is not sharp, you can give it to God.